public warning from leading Haredi figures is causing a stir across the Jewish world. They've advised diaspora parents to reconsider granting Israeli citizenship to their children, not because they oppose Aliyah, but because of the growing risk of their sons being drafted into the IDF. The message, don't hand over your children to a government that arrests them for studying Torah. Well, what does this mean for Zionism, for the draft law, and for diaspora Israel ties? We're joined now by Dov Lipman, who is a former Knesset member and founder of Yad Le'olim, for some honest answers. Dov, thank you so much for joining us on the Home Run. How serious is this warning, and how is it being received by diaspora families?
Well, the truth is, for me, as someone who does believe that, with the exception of the elite scholars who are truly studying Torah day and night, everyone else should be serving, and we now have the opportunity to combine together Torah study and army service, even for the Haredi population. So I actually am happy to see that the Haredim realize that this is serious, that there is going to be a situation where they can no longer just say, I'm Haredi, and then not serve in the army. So I think that's a positive development, and I'll go one step further. I think it's important for people who are making Aliyah to understand the reality that they're coming to. If they do think they're coming to a situation where, you know, they're coming and ideologically they don't want their children to serve in the army, they need to know that unless their children are what they call Torato Umanato, which is truly studying Torah morning, afternoon, night as their only pursuit, then they will be required to do national service, military service, depending on how the law is written. So I view it from both of those reasons as actually a positive development.
You work closely with New Olim through your organization, Yad Le'olim. Are families actually delaying Aliyah, or do you think families actually could delay Aliyah because of this?
I don't see that happening in large numbers. I don't believe that the number of people who moving to Israel is very, very challenging. It's challenging to move to a new culture, a new language, children getting used to it. If you don't believe in the country and your children being part of the country, it's unusual for people to make Aliyah, but do so assuming that their children will not be drafted. What I've seen in the past is many families that are ideologically opposed to the army that actually do not make Aliyah. They move to Israel, but they do so on student visas and all kinds of other visas. But they knew in advance that the army would be an issue, and therefore they haven't officially made Aliyah. So I don't believe this will impact numbers of Aliyah, but I do think it reflects on what the Haredi parties are realizing is a reality that's developing in Israel.
And that's what I wanted to ask you, is some people are saying that this is less about the IDF and more about Haredi politics. Is that what you're suggesting?
Anybody who wants to sit down and have an intellectually honest conversation about why do they not want to serve in the IDF, for decades, the argument was our children will become secular, which, by the way, I do agree that there's a risk if a religious boy goes into a completely secular environment, they have to be very strong to maintain the religious observance during that time. But there are so many frameworks that have been in place to do a combination of going together with religious soldiers and having Torah classes and studying beforehand, studying afterwards, prayer services every day. And now they have a exclusively Haredi battalion where that has been removed. So now the question is, they're saying, but young men should be studying Torah. And the answer to that is, okay, those who are truly, sincerely studying Torah morning, afternoon, and night, they, by the way, not just me, there are secular leaders in Israel who would be saying, that's a service to Israel, people who are studying Torah in that manner. Mm-hmm. But that's not 70, 80,000. It's a far less number. And that's the compromise that hopefully will be worked out.
So why do you think the leading Haredi figures felt the need to actually issue this warning?
I'm wondering if they thought that maybe that would concern the prime minister. The prime minister would now have to worry about diaspora Jewry, about Aliyah numbers. I really feel that it's along those lines, and they're trying to perhaps also get support from the Haredi community in the diaspora. I know in the past there have been demonstrations and protests about these issues, so perhaps they're trying to rally those forces together. I don't know exactly, but it definitely shows me, like I mentioned before, that this is a serious issue for them, which again is a positive development overall.
Do you think that this could deepen the already fragile divide between Haredi and secular Israelis?
So you have to differentiate between Haredi politicians and Haredim as a whole. I do think it causes secular Israel and broader Israel, even religious Zionist Israel, to look at the Haredi politicians in an unfavorable manner. By the way, it causes many Haredim to look at their political leaders in an unfavorable manner because they're not really representing what you see on the street. What you see on the street is Haredim who are willing and even wanting to go to work, to serve, as long as they can do so in an infrastructure where they can remain Haredi. And that exists. So it's definitely Haredi politicians flexing their muscles. It's definitely a source of political power for them. And because, you know, there is a percentage of the Haredi population that agrees with that, but it certainly doesn't represent all of it. It does paint them in a negative light in broader Israel.
Dov, I think that's an important point, that a lot of Haredim don't actually agree with the leadership in the sense that they don't want to serve in the army. And like you say, there are particular units that they can serve in and keep their religiosity. Why is there that dissonance and that that sense of not completely on the same page between the leaders and a large part of the Haredim when it comes to serving in the army?
Well, the truth is, I even wonder if you sat and talked with some of the Haredi politicians one-on-one, if they wouldn't also say what I'm saying, that many more should go and serve. I can tell you in 2014, when I was a member of Knesset, and we were working on the legislation that we passed for drafting Haredim, we met with rabbis on very high levels in the Haredi community who said 60-70% of the students that are in yeshiva, after 2 or 3 years, they no longer should be in yeshiva because they've had a few years, but they're clearly not studying Torah all the time, and it's actually negative for them at that point. I believe that certain Haredi politicians would agree to that as well. But again, if they're not in the Knesset to fight for the Haredi community against broader Israel, so why are they in the Knesset? What are they representing? So sometimes issues are created just to maintain power, even though it's not in the best interest of the population, which they may know as well.
What impact, if any, might this have on Zionist education and youth movements abroad?
I don't know that it will have any kind of an impact. I think that Zionist movements are strong in nature. We've certainly seen a surge since October 7th, an interest in Zionism, especially with so much of the outside world turning against people who are Zionist and or Jewish even. People are starting to say, what is this all about? And they have a greater interest in it. I don't know that the broader Jewish population pays that much attention. They certainly support more of a draft for the Haredim, but I don't think it in any way impacts them and their support for Israel.
And what would you say to a South African parent or a parent from any country really right now who is Haredi? Should they be worried?
I would say that if you're a Haredi family that's exploring Aliyah, to look honestly at your children. If your son is someone who is Torato Umanato, the only thing he wants to do morning, afternoon, and night is study Torah and nothing else, you won't see him in falafel places and shawarma places hanging out. You won't see him at an internet cafe watching a soccer match, football match. You won't see him, by the way, on a nightly level in the Knesset. There's often 50, 100 Haredim watching the Knesset. That's not Torah Mato. That's a young man who's trapped in a system, and let's give him the opportunity to be more productive. Look at your child. If he's Torato Umanato, I can assure them their child will be able to continue learning because no one in Israel wants to draft them. But if they're not, make Aliyah and teach your child how important it is to serve in the army. It's the greatest mitzvah there could be to defend the Jewish people, and let them know they have many, many options to combine Torah study and serving in the army and being in completely religious environments, and they have nothing to worry about.
That is Dov Lipman, a former member of the Israeli Knesset and founder and CEO of Yad Le'olim. For a country that's built on Aliyah, the idea that Jews should hesitate to come or fear giving their children Israeli citizenship is deeply painful. Thank you, Dov, for helping us navigate this emotional and potentially political storm. But as you say, it actually all points to good news.